Great to be with you today. God is so kind and gracious and loving. It's sort of easy to worship a God like that. You know, God that really cares about you, and in spite of all your shortcomings and everything else. So, all that said, let's go to a reproof epistle. It's not really that bad. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, you guys are a lot of fun. What?
All profitable.
It's all profitable. That's right. That's right. All God breathed. You know what? What really, you know, I've thought about this several times, and how wonderful it is that we've got these church epistles, because God gave the revelation, and then he saw how people didn't quite stick to it the way they should have, and so he did a reproof. And then he saw that they didn't quite stick to it like they should have, and so he gave correction. And he did, you know, like the Romans section that deals with the basics of salvation, what the accomplishment of the law and this kind of thing. Then Ephesians brings in the great reality of the mystery and how God wasn't just working for the Jews. He was working for the Gentiles also. He was accomplishing these things for everybody, whosoever will may come, you know. And then Thessalonians, like your song you just sang about the gathering together, you know, God does not want us to be ignorant regarding those that are asleep. And we've got 1 and 2 Thessalonians that lays that all out. And it's just so wonderful, and so that is a complete package for us. He doesn't have to really give us any additional information, because it's all in there. You know, the doctrine, and then when we mess up, the reproof, and when we really mess up, the correction, you know, and it's all instruction in righteousness, and how wonderful it is that our Heavenly Father has done that for us. And since we have God's word, we have God's will. The word of God is the will of God. You know, like we've heard said and said ourselves many times. Right there. And right there. Oh my gosh, we've got it all over the room. And because it's true. The word of God is the will of God. God said what he meant. He meant what he said. You know, to whom he said it, when he said it, how he said it. Now, when he said it, and I said it in the wrong order, but that's all right. You know, and so it is so terrific. And when you have that attitude toward the word, you can read the word and find God's will. If you don't have that, and you don't recognize that this is God-breathed, it's just another source for philosophical behavior or whatever else. It's a good source for ways to behave that's nice and good for the community or whatever, you know, whatever the soft soap is, you know. But this word of God, this is the word of God, you know. It is the word of God, and when we treat it that way, he's always there for us. And it's so wonderful. Okay, 1 Corinthians, end of lecture number 743. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, and that word speech is logos, word, or of wisdom. And this talk, from the context, we'll see that it's talking about worldly wisdom, not God's wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, the mystery, mysterion, the mystery of God. So Romans doesn't really, Romans just touches on the mystery, but it doesn't really describe it or anything. He's referring back to the revelation given in Romans. And that's how he presented that. He presented it in that way. He didn't present it to be a great orator. You know, he didn't present it to act like he was had great worldly wisdom. He presented it as God had him present it. It's just terrific. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Did he know more? Yes. You've got to take people where they are and build on that to carry them along to where they should be. Really something that he determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Okay, we'll put a marker in here and let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll be back. Ephesians chapter 3. He didn't go in there teaching Christ in you, Christ in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He went in there teaching about redemption, salvation, what Jesus Christ did in laying down his life, the fulfillment of the law, you know, all those things that you find in Romans. Ephesians 3, verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles." Ah, Gentiles. "If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, the administration of the grace of God," and it's also called the administration of the mystery, "which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." He knew the mystery. It was made known unto him. "As I wrote afore in few words," you know, at the end of Romans, mention of it, "whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men until it was revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." Nobody knew. You know, like that song, "A Train Pulled Out of Paradise a Long Time Ago." Remember that? Yeah. That thing that Dr. Werbel did? That is a wonderful, yeah, the mystery train. No one knew about it because no one was supposed to know. <You know? laughs> I love that. If you haven't heard it, I don't know where you can find it, but what a terrific thing that God knew all this. He knew what he was going to do for man. He was going to restore man to the position that he had when he was first made, formed, and created. Wow. Adam messed it up to where we lost spirit, the most important part of the whole deal. You know, now he made the whole thing available, and not just to God's chosen people, not just to Israel, but to the Gentiles also. "That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel." Israel knew about the promised seed, the promised Christ. These Gentiles, they knew about statues, stuff like that, walking on hot coals or whatever else they were doing. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God." Who gets the glory? God. God gets it. Paul wasn't so smart. Yes, he was brilliant, but he wasn't so smart to know this. God had to tell him. God had to tell us. And he does and did and will continue to. "Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." It's unsearchable because it was not known in the Old Testament. It was not known until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And then he made it known to all Christians. Christians. Christ, the riches of the glory of the mystery is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The works that he did, we can do also. That's not just a nice little motto that you put on a poster. That's true. That's true. We can minister to people and they can be healed. You know, we can ask God what to do in situations and he can and will tell us. You know, it's real. It's real. Unsearchable riches of Christ. And greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. Because since he went to his Father, we can get people born again of God's Spirit. We can bring people into this family of God where they're sons and daughters of God like we are. You know, how terrific is that? And to make all, see, men is in italics, right? That was added by the translator. Translator came along and said, huh, make all who, what, when, where? And they figured it wasn't for, you know, bunny rabbits or whatever else. All men, to make all men, they added the word men, but for emphasis, God gave it in Revelation to make all see. To make all, that emphasizes that it's for everybody. Even if people don't want it, if they don't think they want it, if they think they do but they don't really, you know, all those kinds of situations. I don't understand why anybody wouldn't want to know the riches of the glory of God's redemption and what he did in Christ and all the other things. You know, God is rich in mercy. He's rich in grace. And, you know, he can work in situations that are, you would never think he could ever work in. But he can and does. That's our God because he loves us. He loves those that will turn to him and walk according to what he had originally put together and everything else for mankind, to have fellowship with him, to walk with him, to talk with him, and to make all see what is the fellowship, the administration of the mystery. It's the administration of the grace of God, the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things, and by Jesus Christ is not in the text. The texts omit that. Jesus Christ was not with God in the beginning, putting the world together, putting the universe together. Jesus Christ had a beginning point. And that beginning point was when soul life was created in Mary back so many years ago. That was his beginning point. Now, he has everlasting life. From that point, his life is everlasting. And he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. It means he was conceived by God. God caused that zygote, embryo, you know, everything that happens with the birth of a child, God caused that to happen, and that's why he is God's son. You know, he is literally God's son. We are God's sons and daughters by the new birth gift of Holy Spirit. We're somewhat, almost adopted, but not quite adopted. I don't know. But we're sons of God because we get the new spirit born within us. You know, and our everlasting life starts from that point. You know, actually, though, Jesus Christ did not have spirit upon him until John the Baptist. until he was baptized by John. So think how wonderful he was. What a terrific young person he was. He was there talking with the doctors, and they were amazed at his questions and his answers. You know, what a wonderful young man. What a wonderful adult. You know, and when he went to be baptized of John, Spirit came upon him at that point. At that point, he was body, soul, and spirit. But he was God's son from the very beginning. We are sons of God because God has created not soul life, but created spirit life within us. He created spirit life within this body and soul person, you know. And all of a sudden then, we, just like Jesus Christ was from the time of the baptism of John, we have spirit upon us. Some people like to still baptize today to represent that, but you don't need to, because the word says we're baptized with Holy Spirit. That's thicker than water. It's thinner, but thicker. You know, that's a good paradox for you. You know, it's more than getting wet. It is getting born again of God's Spirit. Okay, so verse 10, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, that it might be known by the church. By who?
The church.
The church. That's who? Us. Us. The manifold wisdom of God. That principalities and powers in heavenly places, that it might be known unto them by us. By us. By what we do, how we live, how we pray, how we develop our walk with the Heavenly Father. Boy, isn't that something? According to the eternal purpose, according to the purpose of the ages, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I could go on and read about our boldness and confidence and access. Ooh, access to God. Wow. But in my notes here, I'm supposed to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, so maybe I should do that. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Isn't this stuff terrific? Man, oh man, God is so kind, so loving, so good, so merciful, so gracious. Chapter 2, verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the mystery of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. We had today in our fellowship demonstration of the Spirit and of power, because we had manifestations of Holy Spirit. People spoke in tongues. You cannot speak in tongues unless you've got Spirit. God empowered us to be able to speak in tongues and then to interpret and to prophesy. That's empowerment, that we can do that. And it's because of the Spirit. That your believing should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of what?
God.
In the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, a mature, a full age. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. There it is again. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. For Jesus Christ to be able to be raised, he had to die. To be raised from the dead, he had to die. Jesus Christ was innocent. He was not worthy of death. People that broke the law, the consequence of breaking the law was death. Jesus Christ did not break the law. He always did the Father's will. He did those things that pleased the Father. And Jesus Christ then didn't have the sentence of death upon him, but he took it upon himself to make his life a sacrifice for us that we could have what we have today. And we should be thankful for that. We should be proud of that not in a boastful way, but in a confidence and a boldness way that we've got God in Christ in us, the hope of glory. And Jesus Christ purchased that by what he did during his ministry, you know, while he was walking the earth, and then with what he did with the crucifixion, and then with being raised from the dead, and then ascending into heaven. What a terrific thing that God has done. Look what God has wrought. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they took such glee in crucifying him. Little did they know the consequences. Boy, oh boy. You know, Jesus Christ said, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. And what we have on the inside is Christ. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And not only that, but we are complete in him. We are complete in him. Look at Colossians 2. Keep your finger here, we're coming back, or your whatever you got to mark it. Colossians is a correction epistle. Verse 8, it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Philosophy, mind games, you know. This proves that you are superior to everybody else if you can quote Plato or Aristotle or whoever else. You know, the philosophy, yes. People get all, you know, wrapped up in that stuff. And not only do they miss the boat, they miss the ocean. You know. Oh well. Okay. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy or vain deceit. You know, they are deceiving you. So then you go out and deceive others. And the benefit of all that deceit? Nothing. Vain. It keeps you from getting what God wants you to get. The rewards that are available for you as you faithfully walk for God and carry forth his word in your heart and life and live according to the word and manifest the power of God in your life. Boy, oh boy, it's vain. It keeps you from doing that. Don't let that happen to you. You've got God in Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's see, I've ceased reading and commenced preaching, or whatever. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't let anything talk you out of that. Live it. Be it. It's you. You are that. You know, it's God in Christ in you. Live it. When you pray, expect to see people healed. Don't pray and hope. Pray and believe. For in him dwelleth all the fullness. Oh, wait, I jumped down too far. I've got to get to the traditions of men. After the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him. You're missing nothing. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Because you're complete. You're completely, completely, absolutely complete. Ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. You're complete in the one that is the head of all principality and power. What a wonderful thing that is. Man, oh man. Go back to 1 Corinthians 2. All right, are you missing anything?
No.
Are you filled with God's Spirit?
Yes.
Okay. Does that give you power?
Yes.
Okay. Can you live according to the greatness of what God has wrought in Christ? Sure. All right. Let's do it. Don't let the world talk you out of it. You know, well, you've just got to get along.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know. Don't tell somebody about God because, you know, you just got to get along. Yeah, we're going to get along up to heaven, and if we talk to those people, they might make it too. You know. Okay, chapter 2, verse 10. But God hath revealed... let me go back to 9, it'll make more sense. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Okay, that's written. All right. Verse 10, but God hath revealed those things unto us by his Spirit. The church epistles and the rest of God's word that we can read and benefit from. But so specifically for us, so much, the church epistles tells us who we are, what we got, what we can do. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The deep things of God, the deep things of the mystery is the context. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man that's in him? We know about man and men because that's what we am. That's what we are. You know. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. All right? How would we know about God if he had not revealed himself to us? We wouldn't. You know, being body and soul, we're in a completely different category. But the Word of God, given by holy men of God, written down, that's in the census realm, right? That's in the census realm. Body and soul, folks, we can read what his Word says in the census realm. And then we can grow as we read more and learn more and recognize what God has done for us. We wouldn't know he did this for us if he hadn't put it in the census realm in writing so we could put it in our brain and renew our mind to what God has put on the inside for us. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, right? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. How would we know we had nine manifestations if we couldn't find it in the Word of God? But you know what? The Word of God is written, but there's still people that are ignorant regarding the nine manifestations. Why? Because they ignored part of God's Word. That's how they became ignorant. They ignored part of... Let's not ignore parts of God's Word. Cool, huh? Yeah. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. It's so simple. You talk to people about God's Word. You talk to them about spiritual matters. It's like talking to a donkey about the internet. You know, they don't get it. Why don't they get it? They don't have spirit on the inside. They don't have spirit. We've got a leg up. We've got spirit on the inside. What a terrific thing that God has done for us. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. You cannot know if you don't have it. You know, you cannot, if you're never taught math, you can't do math. You know, if you're never taught to read, you would not be able to read. But we have been given the gift of Holy Spirit, and we can see things spiritually because we have that spiritual connection. We have that spiritual reality of God in Christ within us. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. How do we judge things?
Spiritual.
God, what's going on here? Help me with this. What can I do about this situation? What can I do about that situation? Maybe he brings a verse to your mind. Maybe you have that night you have a vision, you know. Maybe you have a dream, you know. He's got all kinds of ways to get through to our, you know, brain cells so that we can receive what he's trying to tell us, you know. But we've got to go to him, and we've got to know that he wants to help us, and he will. He can give us word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. You know, he's given us the capacity to love, you know, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is the greatest motivator of all time. You know, having that love in us, then we can be motivated beyond what a normal person could be motivated, because it's God in Christ in us. So, how do we judge? God, what's going on in this situation? What can I do? What should I do? Okay, I get it. Let's go. You know, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have God in Christ in us. We have the capacity, because of the Spirit on the inside, to put into our thinking what God has accomplished by way of Jesus Christ. Put into our thinking what God has made available because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. And put in our thinking that the works that Jesus Christ did, and greater works can we do, because where did he go? To the Father. And there were some guys that saw him go. You know, he went to the Father. And we got the witness of those that saw him go to the Father. I just think sometimes in so many ways, we were humble enough to accept what God did for us in Christ. But sometimes that humility, we're not, if we're so humble that we don't think God accomplished in us what he accomplished by Jesus Christ, then we don't rise up to the level of believing and walking accordingly. Boy, isn't it something? We've got it. Folks, we got it. Let's do something with it. Let's live it. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for your love and grace. We're thankful for your mercy and for your watchful care over our lives. And may we rise up to be the men and women that you've called us to be, that you've enabled us to be, and that you've made accomplishments in Christ for us to be, and walk with you and bring deliverance to God's people in our day and time. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.